husband's early family life. That is, how much you know about his early family life.
Yes. Well, Sam was one of six children. And three of them were born to his father. And then his first wife died, I guess. And then he married Sam's mother, who was a very wonderful woman. And there was her father had been a miller in Russia. And she could, well, she was young, she carried sacks of flour on her shoulders. She was very strong, and she was very, I think she was considerably younger than he. And they all lived a very, very congenial life that you weren't allowed to say stepmother. And some of them didn't know till they were married that that wasn't their real mother.
Was there, do you recall, I'm just curious to ask you this question, was there an artistic streak in the background?
No, please.
How about that? And that's common, too.
That's, and I don't know what went on in years before, but from what I understand of their early lives, they were not.
Were they, I'm curious, were they religious by any chance?
Yes, they were religious, and they were Orthodox, and I think he must have been president of a little shul, chali, they used to call it, Hungarian shul. And every certain holiday, the mother would make a pot like this of what they called halapchis, and we called them stuffed cabbage. Some holiday.
Yeah.
Year two, they made them, she made them little and sweet. Mm-hmm. And then they bring all the men home, and they have nice drinks too. They had a good time. When they came up. I didn't know them then, of course.
That's a nice atmosphere.
Oh, I guess even after I was married, he brought them home. He was a tailor. Sam's father was a tailor.
Oh.
And they lived first in, he was born, Sam was born in Philadelphia. And then they went to Erie, and he was a tailor, and he had a big sign outside. Paris Taylor. And it used to swing in the wind, and they were so proud of him. And he was Austrian. He came from Vienna. And he was very proud of his emperor. And he was always the dignified. And he was always the man of the household. And everybody bowed obeisance to him all the time. And he's, they're all very sweet people. Very sweet. And he would be talking, and then he'd put in Verstehen Sie, a lot like we say,
yes,
hear me or something.
Do you understand?
And he looked like a count. I wish we could show the picture of Sam's parents on the tape.
Well, that description was very nice. I understand he was the fifth child. There were three sisters and two brothers, is that right?
Well, let me see. There were three. There were three from his father's first marriage.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And then he was the second of. Yeah, he was the fifth child. There were six altogether.
So
and they kept a lot of their relatives that come over from Europe, and they all ate at the same table, and they had sometimes 15 people his mother cooked for, and what a cook.
So they moved from Philadelphia to Erie when Sam was 1 year old. Is that true?
They did.
That's what I learned.
I don't know.
And then
where did you learn that?
At the library. Research.
Well, I'll have to find that because my kids want to know more.
Oh, well, and
my
then
kid.
From Erie, they moved to Pittsburgh.
What library?
Carnegie, up on the second floor.
Yeah, I went there to see what they had, whether they needed clippings or anything. They didn't show me.
Back in the music department and the art department.
Yes.
Oh, they brought me a sheaf of clippings.
Well, they've gathered those since I was there.
All those. Okay, so now we've established the background, his mother and father, and how he moved here. And they say, I don't know if you're aware of it, that his artistic talent began to appear at age 11 when they moved to Pittsburgh.
I don't know when it started, but I know that he used to go to the Osceola School, I think it was, mm-hmm. and that he, at Christmas time, would go around to all the blackboards in the school and make
and draw.
Santa Clauses on the board.
Beautiful.
I think it was before he was 11, much. And then on the pavements, he used to draw pictures of Indians.
Wow.
And his first painting, I think, was a battle of, oh, gee, I don't think it was Waterloo, but it was some famous battle.
Mm-hmm. Terrific.
And then I think it was the Council of Jewish Women used to be called the Columbian Council.
Do you know?
No, I don't know.
See, we're not that well informed.
Well, I don't know whether I'm right or not.
I'm sorry.
But they had a place up on Center Avenue, the Columbia Council, and they had an art something or other. And I guess this Mr. Koblenz was the teacher. We have some letters that he wrote to Sam when he left Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I have them upstairs. Some of the letters he was still...
corresponding.
Encouraging the art.
Beautiful.
And Sam would send him his sketches that he was drawing. Uh-huh. And he spent most of his time, he played hooky from school to spend at the museum. At that time they lived on Craig Street.
Right. I have it right here. Craig and Center Avenue.
I ought to go and see all that. I didn't know about it. Because I saw it. Practically nothing.
Well, but you know all that went on. For example, that he painted portraits originally. Now,
yes.
When you first met him, was he doing that yet, or was he too young?
Yes, no, he was. Oh, when I met him, he must have been in his 20s already. He'd been to New York.
And what did he do in New York? Did he go there?
He went
training?
To school, yes. Only 1 year.
Is that?
And he didn't like New York. And he spent most of his time in the Metropolitan. Because most of his education in the Metropolitan. Mm-hmm. But he went to the National Academy.
See, we didn't know where that was. That was in New York.
In New York. And woman, she's left the library, the institute now. She was assistant curator of mm-hmm. art, and she wrote to them, and mm-hmm. she got a report on him. And I was talking to him on telephone, and I told him, "Do you think you could make me a copy and send it to me? But it would be too late for us to put it in.
Yes.
But I want to know that." And she said something about a prize he got there. But his father had to go and see him, and he came back, and he didn't want to live in New York. What did he do?
Not time out. Here. That's perfectly all right. You go answer. Put that on. We were talking about when Sam went to New York, but I have a note here that says in 1918 he went to New York to study with George Bellows. Do you remember that?
He did not go to study with George Bellows.
Good.
He went down to the, I think it was the Art Students League.
Right.
And he heard him a couple of times.
Lectures, right?
Yes. And
was that
was
in
very
Pittsburgh
great,
or in New
no,
York?
No, that's
New York.
In New York. It was a very great influence on him.
That's what I understand.
But as far as National Academy was concerned, he saw his teacher maybe twice the whole time he was there. I don't know. And it was so crowded, the room was so crowded, that sometimes the students had to stand in the hall and look around the corner at the model, go back to this.
But he did get some good training there, wouldn't you say?
Well, as I said before, most of his learning in New York came from the museum. Mm-hmm. And of course, did they say 1918?
Well, they say in 1918, Mr. Rosenberg went to New York's Art Students League to attend lectures by George Bellows, and that's exactly what you said.
I said that he went down to see, hear him, but maybe he did. Mm-hmm. Well, it'd be like that. Too much confusion to change it.
No,
I may be wrong.
That would rather have it from you.
I don't know where he got that.
Well, would you like to talk more about his change, how long he was a portrait painter, and then he changed his...
Yeah. Well, he was pretty much mostly portrait painting. Oh, I didn't tell you of the great experience he had in Pittsburgh as a child. He was playing in the park, and he saw them drawing in the art department. And so day after day, this teacher would look at this kid standing there with his nose pressed against the window. And finally he went out and he called him in and he had him join the class. And so, and at that time, I think Nathaniel Spear Jr. was lived right at the edge of the park. And I think that, I think they all must have gone to this Mr. Koblenz that taught for the, they played ball in the park. There was a bunch of them. The other one was Oliver Kaufman, mm-hmm. boy, and they played. And so they'd go into this big house for something to eat. They'd go in through the kitchen. And Sam thought that Nathaniel's mother was a cook there.
And she lived there, right?
She lived there. She was the owner of the house.
Yes.
Now, what park was this?
Schenley.
Schenley, sure.
I think Tech owns that house now.
He was rather young then, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was young.
Because I understand that even at 21, he had already won some awards from the Associated Artists, right?
I guess.
Yes. And his change from portrait painter to abstract, that's what I'd like you to talk about.
Well, that
if you
took
remember.
A long time. That
Much later?
Well, he was a very good portrait painter, but the people that he was, you know, that would really have their portraits painted would be coming, having artists come in from New York to do their mm-hmm. paintings. And so he did quite a number of portraits, but not enough to... well, anyway, he began to get interested. See, he wasn't touched, and he should have been. When he was in New York was when the great, you know, revolution came. 1913, I think, the start with all the modern, mm-hmm. the Armory Show, I don't know when that was held. Mm-hmm. And that was a great show, and that was the beginning of the French influence on them.
Well, would you say he was self-taught in the early years?
All artists say they're self-taught. All his students yeah. say they were self-taught. Not all of them. There's some that are very grateful. But most of what he got, he had to get from his own observation, because no teacher could spend that much time with him. And then he did go into the class, and, you know, that Mr., what was his name? Tech invited him.
Well, he was active at Carnegie Tech at an early age, right?
Yes.
I mean,
not real early. If he taught Saturdays first he taught Saturdays, and then he taught all day Saturday. They had a rule that just got into effect in the public schools that to teach art you had to have a degree.
Mm-hmm.
So that after we were married, my father suggested that he, you know, get his degree. I think he taught in the public schools for a very short while and he hated it.
Well, in 1949,
what?
I understand he was associate professor of painting at Tech.
He became associate professor. Now, most people in the academic world begin watching for these advancements, but he didn't because he did not think that was his first. Mm-hmm. He did not consider that he was a teacher. He was a painter first, he thought.
Mm-hmm.
And my father thought he'd like to see him have a Balabhatisha job and suggested that he do that. He had a very good friend in Pittsburgh, a little Irishman named Patrick Byrne.
Oh, really?
Patrick J. Byrne. Mm-hmm. He was called the patron saint of art in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
And everybody knew him. He was a little wee Irishman mm-hmm. with blue eyes. And they considered him part of their family. I think he had 8 children, 1 daughter and 7 sons. And he wanted all 7 sons to be artists, and none of them were. And he painted churches, and Sam worked with him painting churches,
yes.
Decorating churches. And he was his good friend. When Sam was courting me, he didn't know too much about the niceties and refinements of courting. And I was sick with the flu or something. In those days you didn't pay too much attention. Sam came to call on me and I was in bed. But Patty gave him a bunch of flowers and a book. That's the first he'd ever known mm-hmm. you did that to girls.
Well, he had a good mentor, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, so now the other question I've been waiting to ask you was, how did it feel? How did you cope with all this fame and all the people?
It wasn't all that much.
Really?
No, and you take it in your stride when you're going through it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when he was young, you know, if he sold a painting for $10, I think he did each of Byrne's children for $10 a piece.
What?
And there's a copy of a photograph of Rabbi Meir out in the temple that Sam did.
What temple?
Temple
Rite of Shalom.
Rite of Shalom. Mm-hmm. In the hall.
Still hanging. I have to go
yeah.
see it.
It's a little thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, of course, later he would disdain to do anything from a photograph. But he had to do it because he didn't get any other kind of commissions.
Well, most portrait painters I learned did copy for photographs. It was common. But what about when, in 1945, these great paintings were done? The Threshold, the Skull, Discussion, Conflict, the Stage.
When was that?
This was in 1945. These were, Esquire magazine did a whole thing. Do you recall that far back?
I have the
Esquire
article.
Magazine. Because Esquire in those days was quite a magazine. It's not that profound today.
Uh-huh.
And to do a big...
I have the reproductions.
Mm-hmm.
They did color reproductions.
Where are those paintings today, for example?
Conflict, what's the girl's name that owns the bookshops?
I don't know.
I think she owns that.
Mm-hmm.
They all went and they just really, did you say 1945?
Yes.
Well, this was during the war. This
you're
was during
right,
war.
You're right,
It
sure.
was during Hitler.
Right.
It was during Hitler. And he was very upset and he did all these emotional things.
Yes.
And people called them stained glass paintings, which he didn't think he wanted to look like stained glass, but I guess did.
Where was his studio at that time? Where did he do his work?
First, he did it in our, I guess he must have done it in his bedroom at home. But around that time, when he was doing portraits after we were married, he did them in the living room. And he took students in our living room.
Did we establish where you were living at that time?
When we left the settlement, we lived at the settlement for a year.
That's right.
Then we moved to a duplex on Coulthard Avenue that my father had built. Mm-hmm. And we moved to the second floor of that. We lived there for 28 years. And about the changes he went through. Well, this was one of the big changes. We went to Woodstock, and he became, all this time he was teaching. 45 he must have been teaching at the settlement, at the PCW, he's head of the art department.
Oh, yeah.
And the tech. Or why my father wanted him, oh, when, then he wanted to go to college, and he hadn't had any when he was in 1926, I think. We were going to have our baby, and he went back to Tech.
In 1926?
In 1925. Mm-hmm. He went back to Tech in 1925, and he was teaching at the same time. And we were going to have a baby, and we did have a baby in 1925. Mm-hmm. Kept us up at night.
So you had your hands full raising the baby, right?
Yes, but it didn't seem like my hands were full. I was always very, very busy.
Yes.
And after the baby grew up a little bit, I did a lot of things in the community. Do you want to know about his painting? This. We went to Woodstock for the first time we went, and we were in with these Woodstock artists and so forth, and he painted in Woodstock. He began to do landscapes. And as we were coming home through Western Pennsylvania, we realized Western Pennsylvania was as beautiful as anything in New York State or any of the states we went through. So he began to do Pittsburgh, but he didn't do the beautiful parts of Pittsburgh. He did this down around Logan Street and Clark Street.
Yes.
And Dinwiddie Street. No, I don't think he did any on Dinwiddie Street. So he did those, and then when he began to do those, the big change came. Then the war came, and he was very much upset by it. The war and about Hitler and so forth. And so he threw all his emotion into it. And that was the beginning of a big change in him.
Yes.
And after a while, he began to feel that that wasn't what painting was about.
That is realism, is that what you're saying?
No, that all this emotion.
Oh.
That you got a different kind of emotion from painting, and painting was not literature. Mm-hmm. Don't tell stories in painting. And so then he began that, and then a good many of the artists at that time, from the reality of the war and everything, they went into abstraction.
Yes. That's when Picasso was doing it, too.
Oh, he was doing it before me.
Correct me. The luminous color quality, did he always paint with that luminous? You can see him right here. Or did
he
acquire that?
Engrossed in color.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, he did a lot of what he called the mixed technique in painting, that was putting on gouache and then oil over it, fat and lean, and fat and lean. And those layers did that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether he did that in later years or not. He always kept going back to former periods, you know. He'd be all engrossed in something, then he'd do something from the older periods. He was criticized for the way he was changing all the time.
Well, they did have a lot to write about because he was an interesting painter. That is, he went through the different schools, which makes this whole story so interesting. And while I'm saying that, I'm hunting for another question to ask you.
You have so much material there.
Well,
they didn't show me anything. Well, that was before Sam died. And right after he died. And they didn't have a lot. We gave a lot of things to the library. And maybe they added those. I don't know. They didn't have many clippings.
Yeah, you have come up with some things that I couldn't find in the library.
This mentor
of his wasn't mentioned. And another thing.
We have letters 1911 from Copeland.
Golly. See?
May I ask a question about his formal education? You said that he had started going to Tech after you were married. Was he a day student or was this part-time?
No, he was a day student. He taught at night.
At Tech at night.
And they had a meeting, the board had a meeting, and they said that his work, his painting, he had prizes and everything like that, that he didn't have to go to Tech painting. So they excused him for 2 years, so he only had to go for 2 years to
and
take the academic,
degree,
yes.
Oh,
1926 he got his degree. And was he
appointed chief of staff at that time?
Well, I think it might have been, I don't remember. Yes, I guess it was.
It was. What I would like you to talk
about. I have
about,
that someplace that I could look up if you need it.
But yes, we can do that when we get to the end. He appeared in the Carnegie Internationals, which we really don't have like we used to, remember?
No.
They were paintings from all over the world. Would you like to tell us about how did it feel to see your husband's painting at the International?
Well, the way it felt good and it felt bad if they wouldn't have invited him. But he...
Everyone he appeared at.
Well, not everyone.
Really?
No, that's not true. Everyone from 1933
right.
on.
Yeah, I forgot to say 1933. But you're right. Who said your memory isn't good? Your memory's fantastic.
No,
if you
it's just
can remember.
Parts. Just in part.
Okay. You're just shy.
No, I'm not. I am shy. You wouldn't believe it.
Well,
I
admire your memory. If you can remember that fact, which was...
No, that's a known fact that not all people can remember.
Okay, so tell us some more.
Look how much I've forgotten.
About the Carnegie International.
The Carnegie International used to be that they had a jury. I didn't think it was fair the way they did because we didn't know it. But all these artists from all over the world sent to the jury at the International. And he passed two times, I think it was 22 in 1925. I can't say right offhand. He passed the jury, but many times he was turned down. And at the time that they were having a jury, which was decidedly unfair, because they had invited the greater number of painters that were in that show did not pass the jury. They were invited. And people didn't know that, from all over the world.
By invited, you mean they were invited to show their paintings, even though the jury didn't pass on them?
They didn't use a jury for everybody.
That's what I mean.
See, that was unfair.
See, we never
knew
that.
And they finally decided, you know, I think people objected. Thousands upon hundreds of thousands of dollars were sent from all over Europe. Mm-hmm. Packing you had to pay
right.
for and shipping.
Yeah.
And the people here in Pittsburgh used to carry them over. Well, there weren't very many from Pittsburgh. And so Sam went through the agony of waiting to see if he
yes.
had passed or not. Then in 1933, Tech said they didn't think it was right that there was an art school right here and there were qualified painters. So they had... they had an exhibition by invitation, and they invited the people.
We are slowly approaching the end, and let me tell you something, Libby.
Yeah.
This is one of the highlights of the whole interview. You realize that. We'll have to come back again.
You're